Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jess.
I'm still Jen.
Are you ready to get inked?
Woo-woo.
We have the most amazing tattoo artist here with us today. Her name is Virginia Elwood. I cannot wait to introduce you to her.
But before that, we're going to talk about micellar waters, micelles, still a thing, still around, still confusing. We'll get to the bottom of it. And then the least glamorous fragrance in the world. What am I talking about? I'm talking about poo covering smell.
Oh.
Yeah, just bear with us. It's going to be interesting.
Sick.
And then the last thing is, it's holiday time. I feel like it's Thanksgiving. It's the official kickoff. So, what are we talking about, Jess?
How to transition your makeup from desk to dinner.
We're getting real magazine-y, but we'll make it cool. Don't worry. So, let's get into it.
Okay, so Jen, the other day, I was being a good beauty editor, and I took home some new products that have just come out or about to come out for spring, and I took home a new micellar water. Now, I've always been very skeptical about micellar waters. I like a nice creamy cleanser or even a balm, and I was like, let me see what the fuss is about. Hated it.
This was your first micelle experience.
I actually had one before, and it was bad, but I wrote it off to I just didn't like that one. And I was like, how could so many editors love them?
Yes.
Like, editors love them. People love them. Every brand has one. I didn't like it.
I think that's okay. First, we should probably define what a micellar water is, right?
Yeah.
So did you do some homework after you hated it?
Yeah, I asked my BF, who, like, you know, frequent listeners of the show will know that he is a cosmetic chemist. We'll trot him out at some point. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he gave me this kind of like dummy's guide version for me, which like is very telling. He just broke it down for me really simply last night while he was like, all right, here's like the easiest way to explain it. When you're using like a gel cleanser or like a normal cleanser, it's concentrated with surfactants. And then he said introduce water. It's so funny. Like, he used all these weird words. It's like you introduce water to orient the surfactants to grip the dirt and oil and then rinse them away.
Yes.
Micellar water is a diluted formula, like it has surfactants, but really it's just like such so watered down, hence water. You put it on your face, it grabs onto some, and then you just kind of tissue it off.
Right.
And that's like the water, it's like the water is built in, you're paying for the water.
Right. And also when you say grab onto some, that surfactant is oriented in a way that it's gonna grab the dirt and oil, cling to it, and then when you tissue away, the dirt and oil came off.
Exactly with it. Yes. Thank you for closing the loop.
But
guess what? You're not taking off nearly as much. It's not doing the hard work of your gel cleanser or your cream cleanser. Like, you are not getting as deep of a clean.
Which I think anybody who uses them would notice. Like, it's not going to take off like waterproof makeup.
A lot of people are saying that they're using this as their cleanser. I know people who are like, I just use the micellar water. Really? Your face is filthy.
It's not that it's filthy. It might still have some oil and dirt left. It might also, the problem I have with them is I feel like I have a film on my face afterwards.
Me too.
So that's basically just some of those surfactants left behind, whereas if it had been in a cleanser form, you would have rinsed them off with regular water.
Yeah. I asked him.
Not a bad thing, not like hurting your skin, but if you don't like that feeling.
No, like there's still stuff in my face. I asked him, I was like, I feel like there's a film. He was like, well, you didn't wash your face.
Right.
Like, so, you know, it's...
Here's my theory on why these things are so popular. First of all, it had the whole French girl cool factor going on for it. As we've discussed, French girls, like, everybody's about them. So the big one was Bioderma. You used to see it all the time backstage at fashion shows. Well, guess what, people? Guess what they don't have backstage at fashion shows?
Sinks, running water,
Thank you.
Plumbing.
They needed micellar waters because they don't have sinks to wash all the makeup off of the models when they come in. So the big reason they got so popular was this is a quick way to get rid of makeup on a model when you don't have a sink and water.
They'd kill for a sink.
Right. Listen, when you're home and you have a sink in water, that probably is still the best way to cleanse your face. But I think people like them too because they have very low levels of surfactants, so they can be milder than like a face wash for some people. You are not buying
that. I'm not buying that because I feel like if you're going to sleep with like, you know, like makeup residue, certainly eye makeup residue. I know if I go to sleep with like a little bit of eye makeup residue on my face, I have sensitive eyes. I wake up the next morning itchy.
But again,
like, get a good clean.
That's a personal thing because there are so many micellar waters too. What is your micelle of choice? A micelle isn't one thing. There might be glycerin that's your surfactant that is like formed into the micelle, which is when its little hydrophilic tail is sticking out or whatever. There might be, what are some other surfactants? I can't think of others right now.
I can't tell you what a surfactant technologically
all is. Micellar waters are not created equal. So I don't know what brand you brought home, but that might be the issue too.
I'll tell you after, but it was a trusted brand.
I will tell you, I've had a not great experience. The Bioderma, I feel like it's fragrancy and leaves a film. I do like the Simple one from Simple Skincare because it's fragrance free. But again, I only use it when I'm like in a rush, to be honest.
Guys, tell us if there are any micellar waters that you would recommend if that you guys love. I'm curious to know what you guys think.
Or do you just use them because you feel like you're Frenchy and cool? That's fine too.
Jen, I don't really like bathroom humor or like fart jokes or anything like that. Like, I just, this is not really my cup of tea. But this is so fascinating that I had to bring this to you and to our listeners.
Okay, tell. Why are you getting the giggles?
I'm gonna die because it's
You're like a toddler.
Okay, Bill Gates is partnering with Firmenich, like this major fragrance company that's 120 years old. They produce many of the fragrances that you have right now, like on your dressers, to create a scent that blocks the smell of poop.
Okay.
Now, he's doing this as like a public health service because in a lot of places where people use like a lot of, you know, nations where they don't have the same kind of sanitation that we have in the U.S., like, for example, India, this is like really serious. A lot of people die because of like sanitation-related ailments.
And sure.
They're not going in the public latrines because they smell so hideous that
they're just going
in the street. They're doing it everywhere. So he feels like if we can create something that to mask the smell of these latrines, we can help people go where they're supposed to go. It's really commendable.
It's a public health issue, for sure.
I think it's great.
So not just in India and other countries where if you're going – making a BM near the side of a river and it gets into the public water system. That's, you know, cholera, all sorts of like waterborne diseases. Not good.
We are so lucky in this.
Wait, you know, so have they made?
It's unbelievable.
Have they made this fragrance yet, or what is it going to be?
No, it's really complex. You know, this is.
Plug-in.
No, exactly.
Situation.
It says that he said toilet odors are really complex. They consist of more than 200 different chemical compounds that arise from feces and urine and that change over time and vary depending on health and diet. Like, this is not a project I would want to work on. But I thought that it was really interesting because, like, this is like a weird, like, burgeoning industry in the beauty world that I've. And when I say industry, it's like so niche, but I feel like we have to address it. Like,
absolutely.
Aesop makes this like little Aesop, so fancy, so refined. I was at someone's house, a beauty executive. I went to their guest bathroom and I was like, oh, Aesop. I saw in the back of the toilet. It was the first time I ever saw it. It said like no poo poo drops or something like poo poo. It says post poo drops.
Yeah. And there's poo-purry, which is one of those.
Oh, my God, that ad is so funny. We'll put that on the blog.
Nature's Call is another one.
Nature's Call?
Yeah, I saw it on a men's website. And then Just a Drop. Some of them you're even supposed to drop in the toilet before you go.
Oh, Aesop, you drop 3 after you go. And then it recommends, I love
you
this.
You made number 2 at a beauty executive's house?
No.
Oh, okay. You just read the bottle.
I held it, yeah.
Oh, God.
No, I read the bottle. But I was like thinking, like, why? It was just like bringing this topic like out into the open, like a luxury brand admitting that people go number 2.
But it's a lot of like very complicated chemistry, I'm sure, to find the molecules that'll sort of cancel out the smell of BMs and urine.
Aesop uses, you know, this is what's on the pack. Who knows what it really takes to make it? But they say they use essential oils of tangerine and mandarin peel. So I'm wondering if maybe we should put like some orange potpourri in the bathroom if you can't like spring them for the $29
You know what I always see in bathrooms? That orange oil citrus spray. I feel like that one does kind of work. But let's be honest, Bill Gates isn't about to go get some orange oil. He's talking like high-tech science, right?
Yes. And this was actually really interesting just while we're talking about poo-poo and fragrance. If there's anyone else who hates jasmine, I hate the smell of jasmine so much except for one fragrance.
Yeah.
I will put that on the blog. It's called a long time ago in Argentina, their jasmine fragrance. Have you ever seen that one? It's so amazing.
No.
Anyway, it's the only jasmine I ever like. I hate jasmine because to me it smells like soiled baby diapers.
Well, it's funny you say that because some of the molecules in jasmine are the same that are in a BM.
Chandler Burr had to
enlighten
me.
It has a funk to it.
If they're called indole.
Those animalic.
It's an indole compound.
Yes.
So if I thought it was like the cilantro thing. You know, some people like hate cilantro because it tastes like soap to them.
Yeah.
I was like, why does everyone love jasmine? It smells like shit. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
Because it's freaking smells like shit.
Well, when
you're
not joking
around.
It smells like jasmine, so look at that.
See, girls really do shit flowers. It's the most wonderful time
of the year. Jess, it's holiday time. If I haven't said it yet this year, I am thankful for you.
I am thankful for you too, Jen.
So Thanksgiving, we're eating our turkey. Yeah, that's all great and good, but this is a beauty podcast. This time of year is like cocktail party central, family party central, all sorts of nighttime events. And so women's magazines would have you believe, oh, here's a couple little touch-up things you can do at the end of the day to refresh your makeup to go out to an event.
Mm-hmm.
I have been working on my 5 p.m. face for years. Do you, first question, do you take off your entire face and reapply when you're going out at night?
No, that's too much. If I'm taking off my makeup, that means like I'm going to sleep or like it's like a significant, it's like Pavlov's dogs. Like
I
get very
agree.
Tired. I'm done.
Like it's 5 p.m. and everybody's like, let's go to the holiday work party, but you want to zhuzh up a little, mm-hmm. but you don't want to start all over. So, I mean, I feel like we've always given tips for this kind of thing, but none of the tips I ever read in magazines are actually what I do. So I want to know, what do you do to refresh, to go out for like a holiday party?
For me, it's like all about confusion.
Okay.
Okay, that's my strategy. If people are used to seeing with me with my hair down that day, I put it up. If I'm wearing a lip, I erase the lip and I pop up, like I add an eye.
Oh.
Now, I'm very sensitive to earrings. Like, I don't wear earrings even though I have like earring holes. You will never see me in earrings. Something like, I got very allergic somehow like 10 years ago to earrings. It's a really weird story. But anyway, if I did wear earrings, maybe I need some clip-ons. Pop on some clip-ons to distract them. It's like, ooh, I'm fancy now.
Yeah. Like, what's happening? Or, this isn't day, Jessica. Yeah, this is like night,
exactly.
Jessica.
It almost like doesn't even matter what you do. It's just
the
like...
the change factor.
Just change it up.
I love that you said that because I feel like the tip is often like, just intensify what you already have going on.
Go opposite.
Very good tip.
Do the lip, do the eye. If your hair up, down. And then, of course, you have to do this. Please, guys, this is so important. Add a really powerful, amazing fragrance because it's almost like, ooh, like things are fancy. It's almost like the dimmer switch of like makeup.
Yes.
Give people a hug.
Also
like they
goes
remember
with
you.
Confusion, sort of like throw them off with the scent.
Yeah, it's all about throwing people off. But as on the most practical level, like here's a tip you can like really use like right now. Do not take your makeup off. Just add moisture. I know you like a spritz. I like adding like a creamy, like a balm or a highlighter. Just like refresh. It like reactivates your makeup,
right,
and everything.
I do it with that SK2 Midday Essence. Just spritz it on my face and mm-hmm. then just sort of rub around whatever pigment was there.
Yeah.
And it like becomes foundation again. The other thing I like.
Sounds like magic.
Well, it kind of does. The other thing I like. Basically, mascara always bleeds on me. Eyeliner always bleeds. So if you have that little bit of under eye crumble or the like darkness from your mascara, you know Almay has those makeup cotton swabs. You just you snap them and the makeup remover comes down the cotton swab.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like those just to like run under your eyes.
That's a good one.
To take a little bit off and then maybe pat a little bit more concealer.
That's a really good one.
The one thing definitely not to do is try and apply more mascara. Speaking of fat mascara,
ooh.
Agree or disagree?
Yeah, it gives me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it.
Just the idea of brushing through already dry mascara to put on more.
Nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah. Urban Decay came out with that Resurrection product like maybe 2 years ago. It's Mascara Resurrection. So it's a wand of like this white gel that softens the mascara pigment so that you can brush through old mascara and reapply.
Yes.
I had mixed results with it. Like, I just feel like you just can't take off mascara without fully taking it off. Mm-hmm. So instead of using that, I'll just curl. I know you're not always supposed to curl lashes that have already been mascara'd.
Yeah.
But if you do it gently, I feel like it just like reawakens the lashes.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Keep a curler at your desk or in your bag.
Oh, yeah. I have like 5.
Really?
Oh, I have one in my bag right now.
Stop
it. You should see me on the subway. I actually curled my lashes on the way here and people are looking at me like, what
is that? That's really dangerous, Jen. Don't do that.
Listen, I'm fat mascara. I have to have good lashes.
Oh my God. What if the subway stops short? Oh my God, stop.
Okay. So guys, we have a whole month of holiday in front of us. Come on Instagram. Join us at Fat Mascara. Tell us what you guys do to refresh at the end of the day.
Welcome to my life, tattoo. We've a long time together, me and you.
We're here with Virginia Elwood, who's a tattoo artist who works at Save Tattoo in Brooklyn. Welcome, Virginia.
Hello, guys.
So I'm sure our listeners are wondering why the hell there's a tattoo artist on our beauty podcast. But for me, at least, I think of the few tattoos I have as like permanent cosmetic, like body adornment. It's just another kind of, you know, adorning your body. So how do you think of your tattoos, Virginia?
I think that when I was younger, they started off more as a rebellion. And I think as I've gotten into my mid-30s, they're definitely more self-expression. But I think it's just so different for each client. You know, I try not to pass judgment on if someone's getting something that has a lot of deep meaning to them, or if they're getting something that's just visually pleasing to them, or something that is a trend. No, it's a tattoo. They're cool. They make you feel good.
So then how would you describe to someone the type of tattoos that you do?
You know, that's another tricky one because it depends on how if someone knows the vocabulary, you know.
Like pretend our listeners
are novices.
No vocabulary. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really influenced by textile design, mostly folk art textile design. So... and tattooing is really a folk art. It's come a long way. I mean, people are doing hyper-realism and beautiful black and gray work. And I mean, there's just so much being done right now. But I really like simple, bold lines, whether that's color or black and gray. You know, strong imagery, like I guess you would say more of traditional imagery. But I don't only do that. I also really love doing dog portraits and cat portraits because I get to do two of my favorite things, which is look at animals and tattoo at the same time. So it's a real win. I love tattooing flowers and birds. I just did an eagle earlier.
Today?
All of this sounds very appealing. Like,
I'm
not a tattoo person. I don't have a tattoo, but you're saying, like, you know, dogs and cats. I always feel like if I were going to get a tattoo, I feel like I'd get my cat's face on somewhere. Yeah. I don't know. We could talk about that later, but like offline. But like, I find tattoo shops, tattoo artists be very like intimidating, not like in a bad way, but I just feel like, you know, I don't have the vocabulary. I feel like maybe you look down on me because I don't have a tattoo, like pussy, or like, I don't know. Like, did you find like the tattoo world or anything about the world intimidating before you started training as a tattoo artist?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And even during, even now, I don't always want to go into a tattoo shop.
Really?
Because it is an intimidating environment. You know, even as a tattooer, you know, you're walking in some place where you're going to be asked to fully trust someone to mark you permanently. And that's really, really vulnerable.
So it's the relationship, like the ask, that is intimidating. It's not like the shop or like the guy who owns it.
I think the idea of it, I think there's a lot to it, you know. But I was always taught to be really kind to your clients, mm-hmm. and make a friendly environment. And that's what our shop, what Saved is like. We try to encourage people to come in and look and ask questions. And we don't look down or judge people for not having tattoos. The tattoos aren't for everyone, too.
Or not knowing the verbiage.
Oh, yeah, no, of course not. That just seems silly to me. It seems mean and unnecessary and silly. I don't like it.
Yeah, like you wouldn't go in a hair salon and be like, I need balayage at a two-level blonde or whatever. Like, you're coming to the experts, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot to ask of a client to trust you. And there are so many amazing tattooers out there now and really, really great shops.
Yeah.
So while, yes, there are more people getting tattooed than ever, there's also more places for them to go. So why be a dick?
Yeah.
You bring up a point that...
Okay, so there are some stories about my mom's life that I never get tired of hearing, and they're usually the ones in which she's trying to right some injustice and then ends up annoying the people in power, and I love that about her. Anyway, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve memories and stories for the mother figure in your life or any of your family or chosen family. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. The prompts are really good. The kind of things we ask guests here at Fat Mascara, little things like, what's your favorite board game? And more important things like, what's the best advice you've ever gotten? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to the email with a story, long or short, doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of what they wrote, but they'll also be collected. So you'll get to enjoy the retelling of the stories and probably learn some new things in the process. Then, after that year of fun, Storyworth automatically compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. Even though I know some of my mom's best stories, I love that the weekly prompts are helping to uncover more details and that they'll be collected in one place for me to revisit and read through. Don't think I'm not going to pull this keepsake book out at our next family get-together to share some of them. Listen, everyone loves Storyworth. It has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/mascara. That's storyworth.com/mascara to save $10 on your first purchase. All right, it's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it, all right? Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse. I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once-daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6-time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9-times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove. They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra with their matching shapewear or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings? Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off.
That we wanted to ask you about, like, compared to 10 or maybe 15 years ago, tattoos are a lot more prevalent, at least mm-hmm. in pop culture. Do you wish there was still some of that sort of secrecy and craftsmanship from when you started out, or are you happy that more people are in the fold?
It's a mix of both. I mean, when I was first starting out, I was considered like the new interloper for the old guys, and I say guys because it was predominantly men.
Yeah.
So while I love the idea of, like, in the mid-90s when I first started getting tattooed, you know, it was like, oh, I got my first tattoo from a one-armed biker.
Did you?
Yeah.
One arm.
What was it?
Yeah. What is it?
It was a pot leaf on my shoulder. Whoa. It's covered up now.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. I don't see it.
No, it's long gone. But I just...
How did he hold your skin taut to
well,
do
he
it
had,
with it?
Well, he had... part of his arm, so maybe okay. maybe a handless, one-handed biker is maybe the better
that's
term.
Pretty badass.
Honestly, there, even if he had the hand, I don't think it would have made the tattoo any better.
Is it bad?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's totally covered up. So
okay.
But anyways, back to what you were saying. I mean, all of the attention and growth in the industry, I think, really in the long run, has only helped us. It's helped to push people's art and push their integrity, and you know, a lot of people are going to college for art and then wanting to become tattooers, and yeah, a lot of tattooers are like, screw that, you know, you're trying to eat my dinner.
You have made a little bit of a reputation for yourself, at least in New York, as being like this fashion-y tattoo artist. I was looking you up before because, you know, we go...
That is so hilarious.
I know it is.
Why is that funny to you?
But I was like Googling her name, and like, she's been
on Vogue and ExoJane and Complex Magazine wrote about her. And you've done some fashion collaborations too. So yeah. Where do you think that connection comes from? Is it clients that you've worked with, or why do you think that is?
I think it's a few things. Yeah, I think working in New York, first of all, and I started working here at New York Adorned, which is owned by Lori Levin, and it's a really, really historical, like, elite tattoo shop. And she has a lot of ties to sort of the beauty, fashion, and jewelry world. Mm-hmm. So I think the type of clientele that I was getting when I was working there, and still at Saved, and we're very creative people, and I've formed relationships with them over the past 10 years. And, you know, you and I have known each other for a while. We like to, you know, keep our connections and help our friends out. But so, yeah, part of it is being nice to people. Uh-huh. Try to be really nice to my clients, because I genuinely like my clients. I kind of pick and choose who I tattoo. But I think that I've always been interested in clothing.
Yeah, and you said your art is sometimes influenced by textiles, which I didn't put that together until I just said it, that might be part of it, too.
Yeah, I think that is part of it, because that was, I mean, it was never really my intention to go into any kind of fashion thing. I just, it's a creative outlet for me, and I enjoy shopping and talking about clothes.
Does it surprise you to be, like, the fashion world's tattoo artist? Though, like, you were laughing about that. Like, you look kind of, I don't know, just kind of, like, surprised.
Well, if the fashion world consisted of, like, 50 people in Brooklyn, then maybe. But I just feel like that might be overselling me, although I will accept the compliment. That's very kind. But
then you were at Paris Fashion Week this fall, right?
I was, yes.
Why were you there? I mean, that's pretty cool.
I did a collaboration with Zadig and Voltaire. Mm-hmm. I did some textile design for them for their spring 2017. And also for next fall, we have a couple other things coming out that I, you know, would love to talk about later.
Yeah.
But
what is the accessories line that you're doing? Is that for Zadig?
It's for me.
Oh, the scarves. Yeah. Well, it's for me. Okay. This is going to take, it needs a little bit of backstory. Okay. And I'm going to kind of explain it, like, as easily and quickly as I can, because it's a big part of what the brand is and where the idea came from. About, I would say, like, 7 or 8 years ago, a lot of people started coming in to get tattoos that were flipped upside down from a tattooer's perspective. Meaning, when someone's standing up straight in front of you, you, as the viewer, can read their tattoo, whether it's a word or an image. Mm-hmm. But people were coming in and saying, I want it facing me. I want it upside down because it's for me. They weren't considering it upside down. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of, you know, it started off as a joke, to be honest, because this was such a, I mean, it was just such a common thing. And we would be like, oh, God, it's for me. It's for me.
You know? Like a catchphrase, like a cliche thing.
Well, yeah. So it started off as a joke, although not a mean-spirited joke, but it was just kind of a tattoo world inner joke. And then the more I thought about it, I realized the people getting these tattoos were young women that were like 20, 21 years old. When I was 20 years old, I did not have the agency to walk into a male-dominated space and ask for something that was, like, openly being made fun of.
Yeah.
So I kind of started to get really inspired by it.
So you started you sell scarves and tote bags, and this is the brand name, right?
Yeah, it's for me. So
they're not upside down tattoos, people, by the way.
No.
Go on her website and check it out. It's your artwork, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. It's a manifestation of some of my artwork.
That's cool.
I do a lot of different work with a lot of different mediums. I have a couple of porcelain hands coming out in a New York Historical Society show. They're doing like a New York tattoo history show. So I work with a lot of different mediums and. That just, I don't know.
It's for me.
it's more of a fun, it's a fun side project.
Yeah.
You know?
So we wanted to, just because this is a beauty podcast, we did want to walk through some of the basics of tattooing.
Let's do
it. Because it is still intimidating, just like you said.
I totally understand and agree.
So, like FDA, for example, they say that tattoo ink is a cosmetic, just like whether it's used for intradermal, like making a design on your skin or like your eyebrows getting tattooed, whatever, but they don't regulate it.
No.
So how are tattoo shops regulated? if at all.
State by state, county by county, city by city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here in New York, do you have to get like a license or anything?
You do have to have a license. Mm-hmm. And every state is different. Like in Oregon, tattooing is run by the Board of Cosmetology. So it's really similar to getting your cosmetologist license.
Okay.
Here it's different. It's different from county to county here. But really, that's where the consumer comes in, because there are so many options now and there is so much information out there. It really does come back to the client to make smart decisions.
That's a bit scary. So like a lot of it is really on the client to like find someone who looks legit and seems legit. Like there isn't some governing
That maybe sounds unfair,
board.
But yeah.
That sounds, yeah. Like that's the reality.
You're about to have something permanently put into your
definitely.
Skin. You should do homework.
But there's doctors who are licensed and have all of their shit in order and are fucking people up, you know?
Yeah.
It's so true.
So I think that it behooves tattooers to present that they're sanitary and clean and sterile and all of these things and provide that type of environment. And a client has to feel comfortable with them.
Okay, so are there any like hardcore questions, like any zingers or any kind of just please make sure this person has an XYZ to ask for?
They should always be either using all disposable tubes and needles or autoclavable tubes. All needles are single use. If it seems like that's not happening, then run.
Okay.
You know? But a shop would pretty much be shut down within like 2 days. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It is scary and intimidating, but it's possible and way easier than you think to find a shop that's clean and helpful and talented.
What's like the body part that's your least favorite to tattoo, or do you not think that
way?
Butts. Really?
How many butts are you doing?
No butts. No,
have you been asked to do a butt?
Well, I do a lot of really big work, so I do a lot of back pieces, which is,
migrate down there.
Yeah, well, the back piece is your entire back, and usually, especially like with Japanese tattooing, that goes down the back of your thighs. So, you know, butts are just, I don't like tattoo. You know, I'll tattoo like upper butt is totally cool, like the upper balcony of the butt.
Mm-hmm.
But like armpits are kind of. Feet, actually, too. I don't really like tattooing feet.
Okay.
Just the tops, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And no genitals for me.
I mean, people do get tattoos there.
Yeah, and totally go for it. Just, it's not...
Yeah.
It's not going to be for me, unless there's, like, a very
it's
steep...
It's not for me. It's not for me.
Have you been
that's
asked?
That's your other line that you're going to do.
Oh, I've been asked.
You have been asked to...
Oh, my God.
What kind of tattoo... This is... listen, we're going off script. I really need to know. What kind of tattoo... Is does somebody
never,
want on their genitals?
It's never gotten that far, because when I worked at shops, I would be the only woman tattooing there, and people would know, and they would call and just like ask to have their dicks tattooed with whatever they just wanted, you know, to make.
We didn't even get into the sexism, which I'm sure was rampant in the industry, but like, yeah, you just shut it down. I'm not going there.
That's really just. Beyond.
I would have to charge a very, very big handling fee. Like the tattoo would be like $100, but it would be like a $50,000 handling and processing fee.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding. I still probably wouldn't do
you
it.
You need a mask. You need the whole thing. So that's a
goggles,
nice segue.
Potentially.
You know? What's the most painful area to tattoo?
For me?
For her, it's all the same.
for somebody else to get tattooed. I'd assume their genitals, but outside of that.
Oof. Yeah. Well, I I'm not going to touch that one.
People do ask that question a lot.
What?
But like where
Where's the most painful?
I wouldn't use that as a guide as where to get one, but I guess some people
Well,
do,
I want to
huh?
know like what to avoid. Like I wouldn't want to be like, you know, oh, I really want something on my, I don't know.
Where's
like
the cat
neck,
face?
You know?
Okay. Yeah, the neck. Painful?
Yeah. It's painful, but it's small, so you know it's not going to last that long.
Mm.
I think wherever you're getting tattooed at that very moment is the most painful, because we don't really remember pain. We can't recall it. So if we could, everyone would only have one child. You'd only have one ear piercing.
Yeah.
You would have one tattoo Like, you kind of immediately forget it.
Well,
so.
You said something interesting that I'm just remembering. The last time that you tattooed me, we were talking about endorphins.
Yeah.
And so it was larger than some of my other tattoos. And you said, yeah, you're going to be feeling fine for X amount of time as your body is pumping endorphins. So, but then they start to wear off, right?
Oh, yeah.
So how long does that?
It's like the first 10 minutes
yes, sure.
of a tattoo and the last 10 minutes. Or
the worst?
The worst.
Okay, so now...
Let's talk beauty.
Let's get,
I need a break. I need to cool down. Woo! Let's open up this pouch.
Oh, yeah, I asked Virginia to bring... Wait, I feel like I
Jen gave
that to
me
you.
This pouch.
I just was looking at that. I was like, wait a second.
I brought so much stuff.
Tell us
I'm just
going to
quickly pull everything
take your time.
Out.
This thing is stuffed.
Jess is back in her wheelhouse. It's good.
All right,
good.
Yeah, let's... Okay.
But as far as skincare, what do you like to use?
I really love Mario Badescu stuff.
Yeah.
I love the enzyme cleansing gel and the there's one that's exfoliating like micro beads.
Oh, just like the crystals, like the
yeah,
no, that's a goodie.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else you got there?
What else we got? I like. I think I'm partial to Clinique because my mom always used it, and it's just such a sentimental brand for me.
Yeah.
So
I think
like,
they're like yeah, they're banking on that.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
I think you're absolutely right. So I like their Super City Block.
Good sunscreen. You can't see Virginia. She's kind of fair. She needs the sunscreen
yeah,
for sure.
I'm a little, I can be freckly, prone to freckles.
What's that Benefit product?
I like Benefit a lot. I've been going there for a long time, and I always get my brows done there. So I like this Porefessional, like minimizes your pores. It's
yeah.
sort of a mattifier.
Yeah.
And I like to put it on. For, like, I'll put a moisturizer on and then put this on. And then, really, is this Glossier or Glossier?
Glossier.
Glossier.
Yeah.
Like Dossier. Okay, that
yeah.
makes
yeah.
sense. Their Perfecting Skin Tint I really like. Because I don't really ever, I never wore anything.
Like base. My mom used to, like
yeah,
foundation.
I never, yeah.
That's, but that's not super foundation-y.
No, so it's perfect.
I see a little Armor Beauty.
Oh, yeah. I love Armor Beauty lip gloss. She's, Theo Kogan is one of my favorite people.
See episode, I can't even remember what number.
It was in the teens, I think.
Yeah.
yeah.
Theo came on to tell us about her lip gloss line.
Yeah. Yeah. Armor Beauty.
Which is vegan,
vegan,
which is always nice.
Cruelty free. I love the Benefit Tint.
Benetint.
They made it, what was the story? They made it for to make
stripper
nipples,
yeah, nipples.
Mm-hmm. a little rosier.
I love
I've
that
never tried it for that, but it makes my cheeks.
Cheeks are good too.
Cheeks are cheeks.
Thank you so much.
Virginia, you've been awesome. I feel like we learned a
yeah.
lot. Jess is working on her cat tattoo now.
Yeah, I'm going to show you a couple of pics we can discuss soon.
Okay, I'll be happy.
Oh my God, if you get a tattoo, I will... Hell will freeze over. It'll be amazing.
We have to do it on air.
There we go.
I don't know. Let's not hold
baby
our breath.
Steps.
But thank you very much for coming.
Thank
this
you,
was
Virginia.
Fantastic.
And on the blog, we'll put up It's For Me and your
oh,
and your
you.
Site so people can find you.
Thank you. I'm a huge fan of you guys, and I'm so honored to be part of your show. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. Woman, it is time to raise a wand.
Okay.
So maybe I'll go first.
Yeah, go first.
I am going to raise a wand today to Living Proof Full Dry Volume Blast.
Okay.
Not a dry shampoo, people. It is a volumizing spray, and if you took one look at my head, you would think, this girl does not need a volumizing spray. I look like Gilda Radner. Google her if you don't know who that is. But I've been using this when I have, right out of the shower, when my hair is too slippery, shiny, healthy, to give it a little bit more oomph.
That's
so I lift up, yes. So, but it doesn't give it as much oomph as a dry shampoo that's all like cornstarchy feeling. Does this make sense
mm-hmm.
to you? And it doesn't give it as much hold as a volumizing spray like that feels like hairspray. So somehow it just feels like air, cloudy air, but then all of a sudden your hair is fuller at the roots.
Okay.
So I looked into it and they have this special molecule, don't they always? It's their whole, it's
that's
their whole
that's
shebang.
That's the whole thing.
But
yeah.
they say you have to shake the can a lot, and you really do, because if you don't, it doesn't work at all. There's something about this little molecule, it's very lightweight. So I've been shaking the can a lot. I do it right out of the shower to give me a little bit more body. But then I also have been using it instead of dry shampoo to just sort of revive.
But you put it on dry hair or wet hair?
Dry hair, dry hair.
Okay,
dry
so
hair.
Like when your hair is dry
yes.
out of the shampoo.
It's like a mist, it's like a cloudy mist of oomphy fabulousness.
Okay, so you wash and dry your hair like normal.
Yeah.
It comes out.
Yeah.
Your hair is silky, but too nice, too fresh.
Yeah. This gives it a little bit of that.
Got it. Fuff. Okay. My razor wand is from this company called Volition Beauty. Have you heard of Volition Beauty?
Yeah. They like crowdsource ideas for beauty products.
It's really cool. So, you know, we'll put a link to it. But basically, if you have an idea, you can pitch to this company called Volition Beauty. And, you know, people vote on it. And if it's, you know, super popular, they'll make it for you and people can buy it. Well, a friend of mine, she came up with this idea called Mission Brows.
Okay.
And basically, if you are a cancer, someone who was diagnosed with cancer and you end up losing your hair.
Yes.
I'm not saying that is, you know, anything that is easy to deal with, but there are options in terms of wigs and, you know.
Right, the other... but people don't think about eyebrows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people, exactly, they don't think about eyebrows. So she, you know, she knew the beauty business really well, and she was like a total beauty junkie, but she was like, geez, like there's really nothing that looks real without like painting on.
Right. If you have no hair to grab onto, what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. So she came up with this, like, this eyebrow set that's made up 100% human hair. It's woven on this like micro net. It looks completely realistic. I've seen it. And the best part is 30% of the proceeds go back to the Almond Cancer Fund, which is for young adult cancer patients and survivors.
What is the name of the product? It's not like
Mission Brows.
So do you like glue it on almost like an adhesive, or is it like you brush on this hair product?
Yeah, it's adhered onto the skin with like a really strong glue, but it's not like so uncomfortable that people wouldn't want to use it.
Cool.
So it's something that, you know, so unfortunately, like you wouldn't know, you know, most people don't need this product, but if you do need it, you'll find out very quickly that like this is the kind of thing that needs to exist, because otherwise you're literally just like drawing on two arches.
Yeah.
I love
that it gives back to the charity too.
Completely. Like she, you know, was less shocked. She was more upset and like by the loss of the brows than the hair. So yeah. Anyway, I think that this is a really great product. I love that this company exists and that can make like small batches of these products. So check it out, Volition Beauty. If you have an idea, definitely pitch it to them, and check out Mission Brows.
We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at Fat Mascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So
profesh. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Thanks for listening, guys.